Thank you, Brother Wilson. Well, good evening once again. Thank you for being in the house of God tonight. Let's take our Bibles, please, and go to Exodus chapter 25. Once again, I'd like for us to begin there, and then we'll move into Exodus chapter 26 in a few moments. Exodus chapter 25, I'd like to continue our study from this morning, the issue of the veil into the presence of God. And note here in Exodus chapter 25, verse number 8. It reads, "And let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them." Let's bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for the opportunity to be in your house, the church, the pillar and ground of the truth this evening. Oh God, we pray that you would fill us with your Holy Spirit. Guide us into truth. Help us to see the Lord Jesus in all his glory this evening. And prepare our hearts for your table as we remember the broken body and the shed blood that was sacrificed on our behalf. In the name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Note here in verse number 8 that when God gave Moses a blueprint for the tabernacle, he said to Moses that I want you to build me or make me a sanctuary. And he defines the sanctuary that I may dwell among them. So the purpose of the tabernacle was for God's presence to be amongst God's people. God's presence amongst God's people. And I'd like to submit to you this evening that for you and I that are born-again Christians, it is God's will for all born-again Christians to have an intimate, personal relationship with Jesus Christ and know the reality of His presence. And when God said to Moses, "I want you to build me a tabernacle, a sanctuary, that will be, that will have my very presence therein." And God wants to be present in your life. And I'd like to encourage you this evening concerning the importance of having the presence of God in your life. It's one thing to be in communion with God. It's certainly another step to move into the very presence of God. And that's the difference between the holy place and the holies of holies. And that's our issue that we would like to address this evening. How do we move into the holies of holies? Because between the holy place, where the golden candlestick abode and the table of showbread abode and the altar of incense abode, there was a veil that separated the holy place from the holies of holies. So the veil is the issue. And I'd like to address the veil this evening. And note how you and I can enjoy the very presence of God. Is it possible? Of course it's possible. And this is well illustrated in marriage. In Ephesians chapter 5, it talks about husbands loving your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it, Ephesians 5:25. The permanence of salvation and the possibility of an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ is reflected and should be reflected within a godly marriage. So it is possible to have such a relationship with Jesus Christ. And the key to this is the veil. That veil that separates the holy place from the holies of holies. Years ago, I wrote in my Bible a little prayer that I've sought to pursue. And it goes like this: "May I walk each day in the reality of God's presence and power within and working through me for the glory of God." That's my heart cry. I want to move beyond just a communion with God. I want to know the reality of God's presence. See, God's presence within the tabernacle was within the Holy of Holies. It was not in the holy place. The holy place was the point of communion. But there was a step beyond that, known as the holy place where God's presence abode. And I'd like to challenge you as a child of God to move beyond communion with God to the point where your communion leads you into the very presence of God, and you know in spiritual reality, the reality of God at work in your life and through your life. And there is a vast difference between the two. Some of the great saints of old understood the difference. And as we study the veil this evening, I'd like to invite you to turn with me, please, to Exodus chapter 26. Exodus chapter 26. Exodus chapter 26, note there in verse number 31 to 37. The Bible here makes reference to this veil that separated the holy place from the holies of holies, the very presence of God. Note then verse 31, Exodus chapter 26, it reads, "And thou shalt make a veil of blue and purple and scarlet and fine twined linen of cunning work, with cherubim shall it be made. And thou shalt hang it upon four pillars of shittim wood overlaid with gold. Their hooks shall be of gold, upon the four sockets of silver. And thou shalt hang up the veil under the tashes, that thou mayest bring in hither within the veil the ark of the testimony. And the veil shall divide unto you between the holy place and the most holy. And thou shalt put the mercy seat upon the ark of the testimony in the most holy place. And thou shalt set the table without the veil, and the candlestick over against the table on the side of the tabernacle, toward the south, and thou shalt put the table on the north side. And thou shalt make a hanging for the door of the tent of blue and purple and scarlet and fine twined linen wrought with needlework. And thou shalt make for the hanging five pillars of shittim wood and overlay them with gold, and their hooks shall be of gold. And thou shalt cast five sockets of brass for them." So within this passage of scripture here, verses 31 to 37, we have the compartments of the tabernacle proper, that you enter in one door into the tabernacle, as the Bible teaches, and there you will find the golden candlestick and the table of showbread and the altar of incense. And then just before that, there is a veil that separates the holy place from the most holy place, the holies of holies. And it's within that holies of holies there is the mercy seat, and representing the very, very presence of God. And so I'd like to just spend a few moments this evening and just talk about this veil that separates the fact of communion with God and the fact of the reality of God's presence in our lives. Now, first of all, I'd like for us to note this evening that the door of the tabernacle that is mentioned in verse number 36 differs from the veil that leads into the Holy of Holies. The main difference between this door, the door that leads into the tabernacle, and all of the priests could go in and serve accordingly within the holy place, but then there was a veil, and only the high priest could go into the most holy place, the holies of holies, only once a year. And it could only be at a particular festival known as the Day of Atonement. And the difference between these two entrances, one is referred to as a door that leads into the tabernacle. And there are five pillars before this door. But the difference between this door and the veil is that there are four pillars. Now there are some similarities between the two, but they are not the same. There is a difference. And we note here concerning the fact that there being a difference between the veil that leads into the very presence of God compared to the door that leads you into the communion with God, that there is a difference between communion and the reality of God's presence in your life. Now stay with me. This is so critically important. Most of God's people have got no idea about this eternal principle. That the end is not the holy place. The end of the Christian experience should be the holies of holies. To know the reality of God's presence in your life. To see and to note and to know the power of God at work in your life and through your life, being into the holies of holies. There is a difference between the two. See, the door led into the tabernacle. The veil leads you into the holies of holies. And I'd like to challenge you concerning that thought first and foremost. There is a difference between communion with God and actually moving beyond that communion with God and enjoying the very presence of God. Now, some of the old saints that have written some of the classics that you will find still in existence today, they are classics because these men understood there is a difference between the holy place and the holies of holies. Some of these authors are men like S.D. Gordon. If you get a hold of any of his books, write it down, S.D. Gordon, you will read concerning a man of God who believed in that you need to enter into the holies of holies. Another man by the name of F.B. Meyer, Andrew Murray is probably my favourite, A.W. Tozer. These are just some authors if they have written some classics, and each of these men of God, as you read their books, you will see very clearly if they understood there is a difference between the door into the tabernacle and the veil that leads into the most holy place, the holies of holies. So I'd like to challenge you concerning that thought initially. There is a difference between having sweet communion on a daily basis and moving beyond that to where I actually move in beyond the veil and I enjoy the reality of God's presence in my life. And that can be a reality in your life. But many of God's people fall short because they see this is it. This is it. Well, I read my Bible and I pray daily. This is communion. No, we can move beyond that to the point that you enjoy the reality of God, where you can say in spirit and in truth that God is real in my life. And people see the evidence of that in and through your life as well. So there's a difference between the door into the tabernacle and going beyond the veil into the holies of holies. That's the first main point I want us to recognize. And the second principle I'd like for us to note this evening as we discuss this issue of the veil that separates between communion and intimacy, the very presence and reality of God in our life, is to note the colours of materials that we use in the making of this veil. The Bible here makes reference to four main colours that we use. Blue and purple and scarlet, deep red and white, fine twine linen, and interwoven, and this made up the veil. Now the same colours were used for the door of the that led into the tabernacle. But the difference here is this was a very thick veil. That's why it's referred to as a veil, and it's been well understood that the veil would have been as thick as the span of your hand, the thickness of your hand would have been the thickness of that. Those materials interwoven that make up this veil, that make a very definite separation between the holy place and the most holy place. And when I think of the colour blue, I'm mindful of our Lord's origin. He is from eternity past. He is not of this world. He came from heaven. God became flesh and dwelt among us. And I'm mindful that the blue represents the heavenlies, that God is not of this world. The Lord Jesus was born of a virgin, conceived of the Holy Ghost, that he took upon human flesh, and God became man and yet remained 100% God. So blue could well be a representation concerning our Lord Jesus and his eternal origin. Then the Bible also makes reference to the usage of the colour purple within this veil, a colour of royalty in reference to his position. The Lord Jesus is not only eternal from the heavens, he is not of this world. He was born of a virgin, conceived of the Holy Ghost, but also he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And purple is a colour of royalty. Royalty would, would be honoured with that colour. And note there in Philippians chapter 2, please. Philippians chapter 2 for a moment. Philippians chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. Concerning our Lord's position, His royalty. 9 and 10. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted Him and given Him a name, which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow, of things in heaven, of things in earth, and things under the earth. No, verse 11. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. His royalty. Purple speaks of His royalty. Blue speaks of His origin. He is not of this world. He is the eternal God that became flesh for you and I. So we have blue, we have purple, we also have scarlet here, deep red, reflecting our Lord's mission, which was to shed His precious blood for our sin. Though your sin be as scarlet, it shall be white as snow, the Bible teaches us in Isaiah chapter 1, verse number 18. The blue represents our Lord's origin. The purple represents His position, His royalty. The scarlet, the deep red, is in reference to His mission. And the white here, the white linen, His purity, His sinlessness, which qualified Him to redeem man from sin. So within these colours we have a beautiful picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as I stressed this morning, and as it's affirmed by Luke chapter 24, that all scriptures are in reference to Jesus Christ. When you look for Him, you'll find Him. From Genesis chapter 1 all the way through to the last chapter within the book of Revelation, there's the Lord Jesus, the glory of God, the essence, the centre of the scriptures. And within these colours that are used in this veil, they are not haphazard colours, they're colours that are used with purpose. The blue and the purple and the scarlet and the white and all of these colours reflect the Lord Jesus Christ. And could it well be that this veil was interwoven with these colours to cause us to focus upon Christ? See, entering into the very presence of God and moving beyond communion with God and enjoying the very presence of God within our Christian experience, it's all about focusing upon Jesus Christ. It's not about you, it's not about me, it's all about Jesus Christ. And this veil, and with all these beautiful colours interwoven, the thickness of this veil and the scarlet and the white and the purple and the blue, boy, it must have been a sight and a half. All pointed towards the Lord Jesus. And also note there in Exodus chapter 26, please, concerning this veil, the Bible teaches us that these four colours were used in the making of this veil. But note the distinction that separates the usage of these colours to the same colours that were used at the door that led into the tabernacle in verse 36, is that the Bible teaches us that cherubims were also interwoven within this veil. The Bible teaches that cherubims, which were angelic beings, angels, were interwoven into this veil, picturing for us the fact that man cannot just enter into the reality of God's presence at his own whim. We can't do it in our own strength. That veil is there for a reason. And beyond that veil is the very presence of God. So we need to move beyond that veil. How do we move beyond that veil? Well, the Lord Jesus is the key, reflected in those four colours. It's the Lord Jesus that leads us beyond the veil into the very presence of God. We note in Genesis chapter 3, please, verse number 24, that cherubims are mentioned for the first time. And note here in verse number 24, Genesis chapter 3, verse 24, so he drove out the man, that is Adam, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims, angelic beings, and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. So So from the scriptures we see that cherubims, these angelic beings known as cherubims, were used to guard in some way and in some form. And it's by no coincidence that this veil that separated the holy place from the most holy place, interwoven within this beautiful piece of tapestry, I guess you could call it, is cherubims. To what end? Why? Well, only the high priest could enter the holies of holies once a year. Only on the Day of Atonement, and sprinkle the blood upon the mercy seat. And as the priests ministered and fellowshipped in the holy place, they were reminded of the sacredness of God's presence that was beyond this veil by these angelic beings that were interwoven, engrafted, I guess you could say, into this veil. And as we spend time in prayer in the Word of God, may the blessed Holy Spirit remind us of the sacredness and privilege of God's presence. The sacredness and privilege of God's presence. See, we must move beyond communion with God and to the point of moving into the holies of holies, the very presence of God. Now, if that means nothing to you, my friend, I would say that's a very sad thing. And I'd like to encourage you, as A.W. Tozer did of old, he encouraged the people of God to press hard after God. To move beyond just having communion with God. To the point where you are in the holies of holies, enjoying the reality of God in your life. Where you can honestly say that God is real, God is not afar off. But for the average Christian, God is afar off. We, like Peter, follow afar off. But God wants to be near. God wants to be a reality in your life. And God wants you and I to live in the reality of His presence. This veil, this thick veil, beautifully coloured, with blue and purple and scarlet and fine twined linen, white materials, had cherubims engrafted on it. This thick veil separated the holy place from the holies of holies, the very presence of God. The veil was held up by four pillars, the Bible teaches us, made out of wood covered in gold. Why four pillars? Well, the Bible doesn't teach. But the Bible talks about four Gospels within the New Testament that point towards the Lord Jesus Christ in all of His glory, Matthew, Mark, Luke and John. We're not told how thick this veil was, but it was believed, as I've already said, thickness was as the thickness of a man's hand in width. And not even yoked oxen at either end could tear it apart. That's how thick this veil was. Let's now move into the New Testament. Let's know, what's all this veil? What's this veil all about? This veil is the very thing that separates the holy place from the most holy place, that separates communion with God to the very presence of God. What's the application for you and I? Well, I'm glad you've asked. Like every other piece of furnishing within the tabernacle, it all points to Jesus Christ, so does the veil. And how does the Old Testament veil picture the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, let's go to Hebrews chapter 10, and we'll find our answer right there. Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 and 20. And God gives us the application of the veil. What is the veil? We make reference to the fact that each of the colours represent the Lord Jesus, and we make reference to these cherubims that were encrafted into that piece of thick material. But note here in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 and 20, the Bible reads, "Having therefore brethren." The reality of God's presence is only available for the brethren. And my friend, this evening, if you've yet to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your own personal Saviour, you've yet to enjoy what it means to have communion with God, let alone God's presence. This entering to the holies of holies is for the brethren, for those that know the Lord Jesus Christ as Saviour. Let's read on in verse 19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness, openness, freedom, access to enter into the holiest. This is referring to the holiest of holies. By the blood of Jesus. Note verse 20. Look at this very carefully. By a new and living way, which he, who? Jesus Christ, which he hath consecrated for us, made available for us. Note this next little phrase. Through the what? The veil. That is to say, his flesh. The veil, his flesh. So the Bible teaches us here in verse number 19 that the way into the holies of holies is through the blood of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. It's through the shed blood of Jesus Christ that we have access into the holiest, the most holy place, the holies of holies, through the blood of Jesus Christ. And this blood was made available, this blood made provision for that, through the death of Christ, through the death of Jesus Christ, his flesh, and the Bible equates the veil to his flesh. So a way is made available into the holies of holies by the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed through the broken body of Jesus Christ. The veil. The veil. The body of Christ. The death of Christ. The broken body of Christ, the shed blood of Christ, provides access for you and I into the very presence of God. Now what does this mean? We'll go to Matthew chapter 27. Matthew chapter 27. Are you still with me? I'm getting to the punchline, so bear with me. Look here, please, in Matthew chapter 27, verses 50 and 51. Now, the context here is the temple built by Herod. The temple built by Herod was based upon the Old Testament tabernacle. There was a veil within this temple, this glorious temple that was built by Herod the Great. And note here in Matthew chapter 27, please, verse number 50 and 51. Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And behold, note this, the veil of the temple was rent or torn in twain from top to the bottom. And the earth did quake, and the rocks rent, the Bible teaches us. Go to Mark chapter 15, please. Mark chapter 15, verses 37. Mark 15, verse number 37 and 38. And Jesus cried with a loud voice and gave up the ghost, and the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. Luke chapter 23, please. Luke chapter 23. Luke chapter 23, verse number 45. Luke chapter 23, verse 45. And the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent in the midst. So we see within Matthew, Mark, Luke and John, when the Lord Jesus gave up the ghost, He died physically for your sin and for my sin, a miracle took place. That thick veil within the temple, the Bible teaches it tore apart from top to bottom on its own without the help of anybody. And this miracle took place immediately, coinciding with the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. So as soon as Jesus Christ died on the cross and met the demands of a holy God, the temple veil tore on its own from top to bottom. Not from the bottom to the top, it was the work of God, from the top to the bottom. The Lord Jesus, who veiled Himself in human flesh, and in that human body He took our sins on the cross of Calvary. He paid the penalty for sin, and His perfect, sinless body was broken. It was rent. It was broken. When He cried out, "It is finished," that veil was torn in two, from top to bottom, providing for you and I access into the very presence of God. And that's why Hebrews chapter 10, please, reads accordingly. "Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which He hath consecrated for us, through the veil," that is to say, His flesh. This veil within the tabernacle was a picture of the body of Jesus Christ that one day will be torn apart, will be broken, in order that you and I might have access into the very presence of God. And the body was broken, and the blood was shed of the blessed Lord Jesus Christ. And because His body was broken, and because His blood was shed, you and I can have access into the very presence of God. Oh yes, we can. Jesus Christ met the demands of a holy God. So man can not only be saved from sin, he can enter into the very presence of God and enjoy sweet fellowship with God and know the reality of God's presence. That was only experienced once a year by the high priest. But for you and I that are in Christ Jesus, we are a royal priesthood. And we're called upon to enter into His presence. And note there in Hebrews chapter 10, please, verse number 22. Here's the punchline. "Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water." Beloved, this evening it's possible for you and I to enjoy the very presence of God. Why? Because the veil has been rent, has been torn in twain from top to bottom, and you and I, as a child of God, for those of us that have been cleansed in the blood of the Lamb by faith and in purity, we can enter and enjoy the very presence of God. But most of God's people live out their Christian life in the holy place. They don't move beyond the veil. They don't understand the veil has been torn from top to bottom. And we have access into the very presence of God. How? By faith. How are we saved? By faith. How are we to live? By faith. How are we to know the reality of God's presence? By faith. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. See, the Bible teaches us, let us draw near with a true heart. The problem with the average child of God is that they spend their Christian experience in the holy place. In fact, let me take that back. They're not even in the holy place. They're out here beyond the brazen altar, hovering around the labor, just stuck there. Most Christians don't move into the door of the tabernacle and enjoy the presence of the Holy Spirit and enjoy feeding off the Word of God and enjoy a prayerful life with the Lord Jesus. But beyond that communion is the very presence of God. And it was those saints of old that believed in this. When you read the books of F.B. Meyer, A.W. Tozer, Andrew Murray, men like this, they believed there was a point of experience which you and I could enjoy the very presence of God. beyond the holy place, into the holies of holies. And I'd like to encourage you this evening that you and I need to move beyond our communion with God. We need to move beyond the holy place. We need to move into the very presence of God and enjoy His reality. Enjoy His presence. And to know that God is real. Oh yes, we say God is real up here. The fact of the matter is, in the average child of God, God is not real practically. So we need to move beyond the veil. And we need to understand that veil has been rent in twain. We have access into the very presence of God. And how do we enter into that very presence of God? Well, the Bible teaches us very clearly there in verse 22 of Hebrews 10, let us draw near with a true heart, pure heart, a clean heart. Without holiness, no man will see God, the Bible teaches us. In full assurance of faith, it's by faith that we enjoy God's very presence. So by faith I commune with God. And by faith I move beyond the holy place and I move into the holies of holies and I enjoy the very presence of God. That's a big step. For the average child of God, they will never move to that point. And I'd like to challenge you, child of God, to move beyond the holy place into the holies of holies. And to know the reality of God's presence. To know the reality of God's presence. Oh, if we had time, we would read through Hebrews chapter 9, and I'd like to encourage you in your spare time, maybe this evening before you go to bed, may I challenge you to read Hebrews chapter 9 and Hebrews chapter 10. But just for the sake of time, just look at Hebrews chapter 9, and I'd like to just read the first couple of verses there, down to verse number 4. It reads, in Hebrews chapter 9, verses 1 to 4, then verily the first covenant had also ordinances of divine service and a worldly sanctuary. For there was a tabernacle made, in reference to the Old Testament tabernacle. The first wherein was the candlestick, the table, and the showbread, which is called the sanctuary. And after the second veil, the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all, which had the golden censer and the ark of the covenant overlaid about with gold, wherein was the golden pot that had manna and Aaron's rod that budded and the tables of the covenant. And we could read on and on, but all of this points towards the Lord Jesus Christ, the blessed Lord Jesus Christ. Note then verse 28, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for Him shall He appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Let me encourage you to read through Hebrews chapter 9 and Hebrews chapter 10. And I want you to meditate and get stuck on verse number 22 where the Bible teaches us, let us draw near with a true heart and in full assurance of faith. That's how we enjoy the very presence of God. That's how we enjoy the reality of God in our lives. It's with a true heart, it's with purity, and it's by faith. Understand that the veil has been rent in twain, and we have access into the very presence of God, and the Bible teaches us we enter in with a true heart and by faith. Holiness and faith. Holiness and faith. Faith in what Christ has accomplished already for you and I, by allowing His body to be broken, allowing His blood to be shed. So my friend this evening, I'd like to encourage you to move beyond the holy place of communion and to move into the holies of holies and enjoy the reality of God's presence in purity and in faith. Is God a reality in your life? He can be because the veil of partition has been torn from top to bottom and we have access into the very presence of God And God invites us to draw near. Let us draw near. We have that opportunity. You can draw near to God. You can know the reality of God in your life. It's up to you. Because the veil has been rent in twain. Access has been provided into the very presence of God. As you consider that veil, note the sacredness of that veil, what it represents, the very presence of God. And praise God for the broken body. Praise God for the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And as we spend a few moments at our Lord's table this evening, the body was broken. The blood was shed. Not only to save us from sin, but to provide communion, fellowship, and beyond fellowship in the holy place, to provide the reality of His presence in the holies of holies. So let me encourage you, child of God, move beyond the holy place. Move into the holies of holies. Pray daily as I pray daily. Oh God, may I know the reality of Your presence and power in my life. That's my prayer. It's a daily prayer. That God might be real. But you and I can enjoy that reality if we'll draw near to Him. Because the veil. And as I mentioned this morning, the problem is a veil problem. We need to understand that veil has been torn. Door has been opened. But we need to walk in. We walk in with purity and by faith it becomes a reality. Seeing is not believing. Believing is seeing. It's the other way around. We're called to a faith life. And the reality of God's presence is not something that we experience on a physical level, it's something that becomes a reality by faith when we take that step of faith and we enter in, claiming the promises of God. So let me encourage you to read through Hebrews chapter 9, Hebrews chapter 10, and just allow God to just move you beyond the holy place into the holies of holies. Made available through what? Through the veil. His flesh. The body was broken. The blood was shed. And we that know Jesus Christ as Savior have the honor of remembering His broken body, His shed blood, that not only provides salvation, provides communion, but beyond that, are you listening to me? Beyond that, His presence, the reality of His presence.